X-Ray.
Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show with a dash of glitter. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful. Here we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you tackle the financial overwhelm. I'm Will, and here's your host, Lillian Kerbake.
Let's talk about money. So last week we talked about how insurance is there as a thing that nobody really wants to spend money on, but is usually an important part of your financial plan. And this is because it's really hard to self-insure against really big events. And two of the really big events that are hard to self-insure against, especially when you're younger, are disability, sudden disability, or death. And so I think it's important to kind of address these two types of insurance. And so long-term disability insurance and life insurance are two things that I know a ton of people ignore getting. And that's because if you're living really close to the edge of your budget, it doesn't seem like an important thing to prioritize for a lot of people. And there may be cases in which it isn't important for you to prioritize, but I think it's worth it to be informed about what they're good for and what kind of plans you should look for if you are looking for insurance plans. So what do you know about long-term disability insurance?
I know nothing about long-term disability insurance. It sounds like a way to cover myself if I became injured in a way where I was unable to work and make money how I'm used to.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. A lot of people do get long-term disability coverage through their work. And one of the reasons I keep saying long-term disability insurance and not just disability insurance is there's two separate types. One is called short-term disability, and usually that just covers you for like 90 days. And then long-term disability is meant to replace lost income over the long term if you become disabled and you can't do whatever work you were doing before, and you either are permanently disabled and waiting to qualify for federal disability, or you are permanently disabled from the job you were doing before and you need to retrain for another profession.
Okay.
Some people get this through their work. A lot of people don't know what the policy through their work covers or doesn't cover. And a lot of people don't even know if they have it through their work, right? So it's the main goal to understand is that it's meant to help you replace income if you become injured or sick and you can't work. And a lot of people think that workers' compensation will cover them and will take care of them if they get injured or sick.
This was always my assumption, yes.
Yeah, and workers' comp is meant for injuries on the job or illness related to the job. Majority of disability claims are due to illness, not injury, and workers' comp only covers things that happen on the job, right?
I see. So if I was a coal miner, bumped my head in a mine and got hurt, workers' comp would cover that.
Yeah.
But if I was a coal miner and I was out on a rowdy night in the town and I broke my mining hand, that would not be covered.
Exactly. And, you know, another example is like workers' comp will cover you if you, like, let's say you're a nursing assistant and so you have to lift people up all the time, right? And you tweak your back and so you can't work. Workers' comp will cover whatever PT you need to get back up to that. Or it will also regulate, meaning that you need to find some sort of work in your agency that doesn't require you to lift people up while you recover, right?
Okay, find something at a desk for you.
Yeah,
okay,
or say you're a miner that you have miner's lung and you have something that's clearly related to your profession that is an illness but isn't necessarily like you banged your head, workers' comp would cover that. But that is the slimmest of actual cases. Workers' comp is important. It's a great, important part of the safety net. And as we talked about, you are not covered by workers' comp if you're a 1099 employee. So please be aware of that. But it doesn't really help with these big things. So like, say you get cancer and you have a kind of cancer where it's requiring so much treatment and you're so weak that you just really can't fulfill your job. You know, you may be able to, in the beginning, take PTO, string together, you know, enough sick days. In some places, they even have what's called like a sick day bank where other employees can donate sick days to you. But eventually it's going to run out, right? And the goal of long-term disability insurance is to take care and replace that income until you until whatever the next step is. So either retraining, retirement, or qualifying
better.
For Social Security disability income, or get better. All of these are possibilities.
Also a good option.
Your emergency fund, once it's in place, is hopefully going to cover that short term combined with either PTO or sick bank or any of those things. But what you're aiming for is coverage for yourself if you truly cannot go back to work long term. So there's two terms you need to know when you're looking for disability insurance: elimination period and term. And elimination period is how long before they start to pay out. The longer your elimination period, the lower your cost is on your premium. And this is kind of the similar thing to deductible, except instead of money, it's time. So it's how long you can go before you need a payout. So your emergency fund really dictates how long of an elimination period you can go. If you can go for 180 days to 6 months, you can lower your premiums. And that means that you're going to need to cover that gap of 6 months of no income if you get sick or injured. Right?
So six you months, have an emergency fund.
Yeah. And if you don't have a 6 month emergency fund, or, you know, obviously if you get injured, you may have a lot of other expenses you're paying out of your emergency fund, not just living expenses. You may want to go for a shorter elimination period. The longer you go, the less you're going to pay. And that's because, you know, they're kind of hoping you get better before they pay out and they're paying less overall.
Okay. So that's why that makes it that much cheaper.
Yeah. Yep. And then term is how long they pay you for. So the longer the term, the more expensive the insurance is. You can get coverage for a year, 5 years, 10 years, or until retirement age. Usually I recommend 5 years or more if you can afford the premium. And that's because it can take years to retrain for a new profession or to qualify for permanent disability. It takes a long time and usually a lot of legal casework to get paid out on disability, even if you qualify for it. So 5 years is a good amount of buffer if you've got that long-term disability. So the other thing to know is that they will usually pay a percentage of your income. They're not going to pay 100% of your income on long-term disability. They'll pay 60 to 80% usually, which means that you need to be able to survive on that much while you find a new plan. Important thing to know, though, is that generally disability insurance is does not get taxed. So you're That's paying good. Taxes on the money where you're buying the disability insurance. So the payout, if you do qualify for payouts from your disability insurance, it's not taxed. So let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket. If you're getting paid out on 80% of your income with disability insurance, then you're actually probably going to have a little bit more each month than you were making before because you're not getting taxed on that money.
It's the closest to a get-rich-quick plan I've ever heard from
you. It's not a very good get-rich-quick plan because nobody wants to be disabled, but...
Yeah, for a 5% income increase. But okay, that concept is solid.
And that's also rare. Just to be clear, that is a perfect example of when that would happen. Generally, you will have a reduced income. The other thing to look for is ideally you want own OC coverage. And this will own OC, which means it will pay out if you are not able to work in the job you trained in. So
it was OC occupational?
Yeah.
Okay. I was hearing AUK, like the extinct New Zealand bird.
No, it's own OCC.
Gotcha.
And this is because, so like, say I make a living with my voice through radio and videos. And so if I lose my voice, they would cover me even if I was able to work in another profession, since I would have to retrain and qualify for a job that doesn't involve my voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's sort of the basics. Most people that work kind of like normal, stable jobs will often have disability coverage through their work. And that's usually the cheapest place to get. But it's worth knowing what your plan is, right? Just have it. Know what it is.
Yeah.
And know
how careful I should be in the coal mine.
Yeah, and exactly. And know the difference between long-term and short-term. A lot of works cover short-term disability, but don't actually cover long-term disability. And there also are situations where you literally just cannot get disability insurance.
Like if I were like an underwater deep sea diver welder?
I don't know, but that sounds like a case where possibly. It's actually
or an astronaut.
Sometimes it can have to do with your family health background. So if you're getting it through work, usually they're considering the pool of all employees. So like if you're getting it through work and you work at, you know, Nike or something like that. That's a giant pool of employees, and therefore they're just considering the risk of all Nike employees. And so,
right,
and Nike,
where my specific background and history is sort of spread throughout everybody. But
right.
if, unless I was like part of an elite team of assassins and I had a history of brain aneurysms in my family.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like if you're getting it individually, you can be high risk. A lot of people don't, maybe in professions where they don't actually understand why they're high risk. So hairdressers are one of these where it can be very expensive to get, it used to be expensive to get health insurance. Now it's very expensive to get disability insurance. And that's because so many hairdressers were gay men. And so during the AIDS crisis, a lot of people had disability and were dying and had very expensive treatments. And because of that, and still, if you're HIV positive, your treatments are very expensive, usually if you're on cocktails. And because of that, you may be in a risk pool where you're like, oh my God, I cut people's hair. Why is this so expensive for me? And it is because the general demographics of your pool is more prone to risk.
All this data about the correlations and professions is really interesting.
It's, hey, just go to school for economics. Yeah. This is what we do. Better living through data / capitalism through data. So yeah, that's basic disability insurance. Does that make sense?
That'll make sense.
Just the same with other insurance. Like this is just a matter of Googling it. Mm-hmm. if you do want to get it and look into it. For some people, it's not going to make financial sense to get. And, you know, in that case, take the money that you would have spent on it and save it and put it aside in your emergency fund.
Right. But it does seem like for someone who did need it, it could make a huge difference if you had it at the right time.
Yep. It can make a really phenomenal difference. I would love to hear if any of you went out and got insurance or canceled your crappy whole life policy.
Or if you've had interesting insurance payouts or not payouts. It seems like everybody has some weird insurance stories.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to hear it. So, I think that wraps our show for today. Our producer is Will Romy, and our intro music is by Aaron Parecki. And I'm Lillian Kerr-Bake, your personal finance educator and host. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.
X-ray.